ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to check in with the Lions head coach, Dan Campbell. Dan, good morning.
Morning.
Let's start with the offense. I know you said you guys needed 30. When you went back and watched the film, was there a common theme with some of the offensive struggles?
No, I mean, man, we came out, we started out, and felt like we did what we needed to do, you know, what we wanted to do, really. We wanted to establish a run game and playing a little heavier sets against that team. And you know, I mean, we did that. I mean, that opening drive, we went all the way down and, you know, established the what we wanted to do. And so it was really, you know, the 2 minute right before half, not to be able to get the momentum back there, get some points back on the board, you know, after the fourth down stop. That was tough. And then we had really what we would call a couple of breathing plays in two different series in the second half just to try to get us into manageable downs. You know, we didn't do well on, and so that forced us into these fourth and tens, and that's just a hard spot. When you know you're going to need to put up some points and those happen, you know, that's really four different things I'm talking about on four different series. Man, it's not enough. So that's where we fell short. We did a number of good things. We had a lot of guys play really well. Coaches, all of us, man. You got to be on point with everything.
What created the delay of game following the penalty that took away the Goff touchdown?
Couldn't hear, play call, all of it. You know, it was just a communication piece trying to get it in. Now, I don't, you know, the clock didn't get pumped on that. I don't know. Nothing's been said on any of that. So, you know, we were pressed against it. We didn't get it in time, the communication wasn't clear. So, you know, that's on us as coaches.
I know you said it's a sore subject, and you take responsibility for that play not being a legal play. So I don't really want to ask you it again. But I did want to know, after the game, you said it came from New York. Were you told that that came down from New York?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. You've been, obviously, very good. Your teams have been very good of responding after losses. And we've talked about, you know, the fact that you haven't lost back-to-back games in a number of years. Why are your teams so good at being able to respond after a loss?
Well, I think we, you know, I've mentioned this before. We got a group, a competitive group, they go to work, man. Win, lose, they go to work. But when you're a competitive group and you want to do things right and you want to clean up the things that may have cost you the week before, you know, there's a certain level of urgency, and there's a certain level of man, we're in a race. You know, we're in a race to improve this week. You know, to get back in the win column, man, to get another W and stay away from the L's. So I just think it, you know, there's an urgency that happens, and I don't want to say that it's not there when you're winning, but it's just, you know, there's a reason why you lose these games, and collectively, all of us, man, it makes you want to clean it up. I mean, that includes me. It's all of us. So what do we have to do against this opponent to not let that happen again? And so you're just trying to turn over every stone. The guys are going to be ready to roll. They were ready yesterday. When they came in, we cleaned up the tape. We got an unbelievable group, you know, and our leaders are strong, and we'll be ready.
Talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Down to the decimal, where is Aleem McNeil at for Monday?
Listen, and barring something happening this week, Aleem's freaking playing, man.
What's that do to the defense? What's that do? I mean, because obviously he's a player that teammates love. He's a great player, and so just in terms of production, but what does that do to this defense?
Well, it's, you know, those guys, everybody loves Mac, man, and they know what kind of teammate he is, but what kind of production he can bring to us in the run and pass game. You know, he's the type of guy who he elevates the guys around him. He'll elevate their level of play or their production, just him being out there, because he's going to draw a little bit of attention, or they're going to have to. So, you know, listen, this is his first game back, so it'll be, you know, he'll have to shake off a couple of cobwebs, but after what I've seen the last 2 weeks, it won't take long. So, but it's good to have him back, man. He's certainly one of our pieces, man. He's a pivotal piece to what we do here, and he's going to help us.
Will he be full go, or is he going to get eased in, be kind of on a pitch count?
Yeah, we'll take it as it comes. I mean, he's got more reps. Over the last 2 weeks, he's going to get more reps in practice this week, too.
When you look at this Tampa offense, obviously devastated by injuries at the receiver position. They might get Mike Evans back, don't know, and Igbuka is questionable. But you're also beat up in the secondary. And so I guess two questions. One, when do you expect to hear back on Brian Branch's appeal? And how do you construct a game plan against a quarterback that has been so efficient, even though his top end receivers haven't been there?
Well, we're hoping to find something out by late this afternoon with Branch, exactly where that goes. So, you know, in that sense, I think we'll have an idea. Now we're in the middle of game planning right now. Most of it is, we'll be in by tonight, but, or a lot of it, the base aspect of it. But as far as everything, like we're ready. I'm assuming we don't have him. You know, you're going to assume that you don't have him, and you know what you're taking to the game. And so Chef's going to do a great job of putting a plan together to where, you know, these guys can play fast and we'll know what to do and you know where their help's at, how to play it. And it's going to be on everybody, you know, to bring it to life. It's going to take everybody. It'll take that D-line, it'll take the linebackers, and then certainly the secondary is going to the game. But we'll have a good plan.
What's the biggest concern about facing a quarterback that is as competitive and as feisty as Baker Mayfield?
Man, he's playing at a high level. I got a lot of respect for Baker. I always have. I just think he is, man. He's a competitive, smart, gritty freaking QB, man. I'm watching the San Francisco game. He just freaking wills himself on a, you know, he breaks out of the pocket, takes off. I don't know what it was, 15 yards for first down or 12. But anyway, takes off, breaks tackles, dives for the first down. He just kind of wills it to happen. And those guys, you know, it's very clear. They look to him and they trust him. They know he's going to find a way to make it happen. And he's playing at a high level. I mean, he's seeing the field so good right now. He's making like pinpoint throws. He's just he's playing out of his mind right now. So, you know, we got to be able to keep him in there. We got to, you know, as always, we're going to need to challenge a little bit on the perimeter, and we can't let him get going. We can't let him get hot.
With Brian Branch, is there a worry he's getting a reputation that could hurt him moving forward?
No, I mean, I don't want to worry about all that reputation, because the bottom line is anybody that really knows Branch knows who he is, what he is. Brian Branch is not a bad person. He's not a thug. He's not – he made a mistake. And, you know, are these things he did – there's things we've discussed, and he knows he needs to be better, and he knows he needs to contain himself at times, and he will, and he's going to learn from this. He's going to be better for all this.
I want to ask you one, and I want to go back to it. I don't want to harp on just like we had talked about earlier, but when we asked you, you know, did that call come from New York about overturning the Goff touchdown? Are you guys inquiring as to why you were told that, or inquiring as to what happened in that situation, why they went back a minute and a half later and threw the flag?
Yeah, we asked on all of that. We asked on all of it, and I can't tell you any of that.
But it was an official that told you it came from New York?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, obviously it's raised a lot of questions and concerns from the fans. I know you guys probably have a lot of those too. Back to Branch. Assuming he doesn't go, who picks up the slack? Like, is it Harper that gets a lot of those snaps? How do you guys shift the defense?
Yeah, I mean, we'll play with those guys that we brought last week, you know, and man, they went in there and competed, you know. And there's things we can do to help them out too, you know. Shep's already, we've talked about that. But yeah, man, Harp and you know, you see Harp, and we brought Hallett last week. He didn't play really any defense, but he made this week. Millett, you know, is going to help us out again. Obviously, Rock and Amik out on the edge there. And then, you know, Whiteside came to the game as well, and he's ready to go. And some of those guys helped us, most of them on special teams, which is good. But listen, those guys will be ready. They're not afraid to go in there and freaking battle. And we'll be able to help those guys. We'll set them up and let them be able to play fast.
Any update on Kirby Joseph?
No, nothing new. I mean, he's, you know, about what everybody thought after the game. You know, it's he's pretty sore. You know, but it's a long week, so we'll see where he goes.
It's Dan Campbell, Monday night. That place is going to be rocking.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, it's good to be back home. It's going to be a big one. It's a good team, and this will have implications down the road.
No doubt about it. Thanks, Dan.
Okay, have a good one.
It's 90s.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And then, you know, here's a roadblock, and the NFL says that's not the case.
It hasn't been addressed to me. I know Dan addressed it to you guys and to the team two days after the game, and we understand what went wrong. And I know he talked about it this morning, and what he said is what they told me too. They were told from somebody that it was illegal from either upstairs or elsewhere, and that's the last I'll say about it.
Well, I was going to ask you about the officiating. If you don't want to talk about it, you just said that's the last you're going
to
say.
I think it's a waste of time, to be honest. Like we got beat. That was one play, and it was sure, but we got beat. They played well, and we didn't.
Fair enough. The J-Mo touchdown reception, the run after catch, showing some real toughness there. I guess we've always seen it in his blocking, but that effort.
That was a hell of a catch. It was a hard catch too, across the middle, and then getting hit pretty high and able to tumble his way into the end zone is a testament to, you know, how big of a playmaker he is. Now, a lot of guys just catch that and get tackled and don't score. You know, he has in his mind he wants to get in the end zone every time he touches it, and I want to get him the ball as much as possible.
Both of the touchdown passes you had, the throws were, you know, they were incredible precision on that, and your completion percentage on the year, it's a career high 76%. Do you feel like you're throwing the ball at any point in your career?
You know, I feel like I'm in my prime, but I feel like I felt like that for a few years now, and hopefully can continue to feel like that for quite some time. And I feel good. I don't know if I can compare it to previous seasons or games or whatnot, but I feel pretty good right now. Yeah,
feels like one of the huge stories, of course, in the offseason was Ben Johnson. And talking to you over the last couple of years, you were in such sync with him. Not to compare, but how is your relationship right now with John Morton? Are you guys just picking up where you left off, in sync with your offensive coordinator?
Yeah, me and Johnny are doing great, and I think he's getting better every week and learning and asking questions and listening, and dude, he's awesome. He really is. He's been a lot of fun to work with, and I are loving him and you know, learning things from him and getting new different concepts that he's had that have worked in the past, and it's been great, man. He's really done a great job up to this point, I think, and I think the best part about him is that he's very aware of where we all need to get better, and I think it's a lot of fun to work on those things together and continue to strive to be our best.
Is there an example of something that Jared Goff suggested to John Morton or in your discussions that we saw on the field, a particular player, a particular moment that you guys tweaked or changed, or you said, let's do this, that we can remember on the field?
I wouldn't be able to remember one. We're constantly talking all week long, and you know, most of it is his ideas. You know, sometimes I'll have a little input on some of the things, but for the most part, it's his thoughts and ideas that we end up executing on the field. And throughout the week, him and I are talking, trying to, you know, work things out. How do we want to do this? How will this best work with certain motions and, you know, play fakes, all that stuff that, you know, I can contribute with and try to make it come to life on Sundays. But no, our working relationship's been awesome, and I think he's done a hell of a job so far.
Obviously, game plans change week to week, but what's the biggest challenge for you and the offense each and every week? What do you see as the biggest challenge that you have to overcome?
Yeah, it's a good question. Every week, each defense is different, so you want to try to find ways to expose them, I guess, and that's the challenge every week, and it remains that way is probably the number one challenge. I think for us in particular, our skill players are so dang good, it is a challenge to try to get everyone involved. I think that is something that I don't necessarily need to be aware of, but I know the coaches are constantly aware of, to make sure everyone's touching it and being multiple and getting the ball into everyone's hands and then changing formations and that whole thing is a challenge. And I think that's, you know, the it's a good challenge to have, though. You want to have those challenges, and I think our coaches do a good job with that.
Well, it's reflective of having a very talented team, particularly in offense, and lots of mouths to feed, so to speak. Is there a player that doesn't really show up on the stat sheet that you would love to see score before the end of the season?
Oh, man. That hasn't scored yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, Craig, I guess. Craig's one of the only guys on offense who hasn't scored, and he does a lot of the dirty work on special teams and gets in there from time to time at running back, and I think it's always fun getting those guys in the end zone, and he's obviously a great teammate and great player, and would love to see him score.
You seem to be really dialed in with the tight end, Sam Laporta, lately. Can you tell us about the way he's been playing of late?
Yeah, he's been doing great. He's really coming on now, and again, he's another one where you just find more ways to get him the ball, get him involved. Move him around, get him in good matchups, and let him go to work. But he's so dang good. He's so dang focused and driven, and another guy that just is a luxury to have.
You guys got Tampa Bay coming up on Monday night. We talked about the challenges earlier with the offense, but what are the challenges against that defense in particular? Is there one player that stands out as a guy you got a game plan against, make sure he doesn't beat you?
Yeah, it's always going to be Vita Vea with them. I mean, he's just such a monster there in the middle. He can stop the run. He can pass rush enough to make problems, and he's just so hard to block. He seems like you always need to get two guys on him, and that can change what you need to do schematically and change how you need to do certain things on offense. But, no, they're good. Him, Winfield, I think Levante David, those three guys have been there for a long time and are so dang good and probably don't get as much credit as they may deserve for how good their defense has been over the last handful of years, and it'll be another challenge for us.
Baker's playing really well for the. Out of curiosity, is there a quarterback that you like watching that you admire in this league? I'm sure there's a bunch, but do you have a particular favorite, another one to watch?
Oh man, that's another good question. No, you know, to be honest, I don't. I mean, I like watching a lot of guys. I try to gain stuff from everyone's game. I don't have one in particular that I like watching. Baker's certainly playing well, so when his tape comes up, that's fun to watch. But usually we're looking at the defense. Right. Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you there, but no, he's doing a good job.
You know, on Saturday Night Live, they have a special robe that they give to people that have hosted the show five times, the Five Times Club. You are a number one draft pick overall. So is Baker Mayfield. Are there some sort of special handshake or any kind of special perks that you can discuss about being a first overall pick?
Yeah, we're in the first overall pick, second team club too. So. Right. We got an even specialer handshake that we do each time. No, but he's a hell of a player and a good friend, and I wish him the best, except for this week.
Well, could you also give us a sense for what's on the line? I mean, their record being what it is, tiebreakers in the NFC, this feels like a massive game at the midpoint of this season.
Yeah, it's always big. I think anytime you get to play an NFC opponent that's also, you know, leading their division, it's fun to have those matchups in prime time, and you know, you want to win this game for this week, but certainly you're looking, you know, to where this game may matter late in the year. But yeah, you want to win it right now, and it's Monday Night Football at home right before our bye week. We're just coming off a loss. Yeah, it's a big time for us to get a win.
Yeah, you saw them in the playoffs a couple of years ago. You played them last year. They're off to a great start. What is it about them that has made them successful, and how have they improved this year over years past?
Man, they're so dang well coached, I think. You know, certainly on defense, what I see every time I play them is Todd Bowles and how sound that defense is and how good their leadership is. Again, I think Levante David's kind of the core of it and leads everyone out there, but man, it seems like we've kind of traded jabs back and forth for the last few years, where we've gotten them, then they've gotten us, and back and forth. And so, yeah, they're a fun team to play against. They're certainly a challenge for me mentally, and it'll be fun.
Dan Campbell said this morning that he expects Aleem McNeil to play this weekend, and then he also added, "Everybody loves Mac." What is it about Aleem McNeil that everybody loves?
Oh man, he's the best. He's a great teammate. He's fun to be around. He's always smiling. He's always happy. You can't get that guy down. I think I've seen, you know, him be upset maybe once, you know, and it's just fun being around him. He's the most athletic big dude you've ever seen. You know, he can do all sorts of things, and it's good to have him back, man.
Can you walk us through what a Sunday looks like before playing on Monday Night Football? I mean, is it just a walkthrough? Do you get to meet up with your teammates and watch games on Sunday? Or what does it look like?
Yeah, well, it'll be just like our Saturday before our Sunday games. And I guess the only difference is we've got Sunday football on, so you get something to watch when you get home. But, you know, to be honest, not much different than watching college football on Saturdays when I'm home resting for that time. And for us, we'll do our meetings on Monday morning, so Sunday night will be, I guess, off to some extent, where we don't have meetings and can get to enjoy some Sunday Night Football potentially. But yeah, you're just resting and getting the game plan together and getting your mind right.
Lastly, Jarrett, happy birthday to you. How did you spend the big day, and has it hit you yet that you have to accept the fact that you're not 30 anymore.
I know, 31, you know, over the hump. No, thank you. We had a nice dinner, spent some time with my daughter, my wife, and our dog, and enjoyed the day off.
Any great presents?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, a ton. The greatest present was spending time with them. I know that's a little cheesy, but
there it is.
It was nice.
Passing grade as a dad and husband there. Well said.
Yes.
Good luck. Huge game on Monday. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jared.
All righty, 97-1 the ticket. Who said it's still to come this hour? Rico, I want to go back to something you said. I'm curious what people would say. You are so confident that the scriptwriters have written in that the Lions beat the Bucks that you would choose the Bucks as the more sure thing win than Indiana over Michigan State. That's insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels that way because, Rieger, they got embarrassed. And they went into total denial. And I think it'll be the silent, okay, I can't publicly say I'm sorry, but I'll make this up to you. I'll make this up to you in the game. If there's a controversial call, I do fully expect the Lions to get the benefit of the doubt in this game. They'll find a way to justify, and hopefully at that point, can we let bygones be bygones and you guys stop bringing this up?
Us guys, we didn't start this. I didn't do anything.
I'm just glad we get an NFC opponent. It feels like we've been playing the AFC for the last month and a half.
I just want to move past this game and actually just.
Yeah, everybody does.
I'm so sick of talking about Kansas. It's a 3-3 Kansas City Chiefs team. Like, it's not this great team.
Okay, but hold on a sec. You guys all picked against the Bucks, who were 5-1, and Mike Evans didn't practice today.
Buka did not practice today. I took the Bucks.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Kenny made me take the Bucks.
You're a hater like me. I got you. I took the Bucks too.
No, Kenny made me take the Bucks.
Traitor.
No, it's the reverse. Like,
the reverse psychology.
Yeah, my pick sucks. So if I pick the Bucks, the Lions will win.
It's the emotional bet. Like, yeah, I'm going to bet against them, but if it goes the other way, I'm going to be happy.
No, it's just like my picks are always wrong, so it'll be wrong. Lions win.
When Mike is in first place at 33-37.
Well, he does do the podcast.
We've all been wrong a lot.
Yeah, we have.
See, and let me say this, and I know we don't get an injury report until tomorrow with the game designations, but they do have who practiced today. And Taylor Decker was limited again today. DJ Reader was limited. Ali McNeil has been full practice all week. He continued that today. But Terrion Arnold, who did not practice yesterday, was limited today. Kirby Joseph, Avante Maddox were also no practice.
All right. Well, maybe you said Terrion was
limited. Terrion was limited.
It's a good sign. I mean, I know you've been beat up in the secondary. And look, one of my, I'm not going to say issues, but last week the Lions ran so much zone coverage and cover four, and we're just not going to let you beat us over the top. And they just got picked apart by Patrick Mahomes.
They did.
Because that's not their identity. Their identity is we're going to play press man, and we're going to get up in your face. And if you beat me, you beat me. Like, have that type of attitude. And asked Coach about it after the game, and he's like, yeah, it's more personnel-wise. It wasn't really anything about Kansas City, but we're just down so many guys that, you know, we don't want to put them on an island, so to speak. But the plays that they actually ran last week with man coverage with Amik and with Rocky Sin and some of these other guys, like, it's these guys are competitive, you know? So I think that one change I'm going to hope for this week is more man coverage, because that's just who they are. Like, that's the type of guys that they want on the roster. That's the type of attitude that they want is, yeah, if I'm going to get beat, it's going to be me because I'm going to be one-on-one. And we're going to see. We're going to see this week. I'm really interested in watching the first drive from Tampa Bay to see how we're going to challenge these receivers and to see what kind of defense we're going to run, because last week against Kansas City just looked foreign to me. It was like, you're not a cover four team. You're not a cover three team. You're not an umbrella zone cover team. You're putting your linebackers in a really tough position. And I thought the linebackers had a really rough game in coverage against Kansas City last week because there was just so much zone. I'd like to see them get back to playing a little bit more man on man. If we get beat, we get beat. But that'll be something that, you know, people watching the first call it 10, 15 plays of the game when the defense is on the field is what's going to be the strategy this week, especially knowing that I think Ibuka, you know, David mentioned, didn't practice, not going to get the injury report till next week, but Godwin, I think that you know, coaches came out and said, hey, he's going to be a long shot to play this week. Mike Evans might be back, but if you're missing Ibuka, if you're missing Godwin, you got to get up on these guys and challenge them.
Yeah, but
you can't be worried about, you know, a fade or a deep route beating you over the top. Like, you got to get up and challenge them because that's what this defense is built off of. Guys that can play press coverage, challenge a receiver, and let your front four try to get home.
Isn't the Evans thing weird, though? Because he practiced yesterday. Now he's back to not practicing. Does that tell you he's not going to play on Monday?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, but he's been around long enough.
I get
he's
it.
One of those guys that...
He's a vet. It's almost like if you see a guy practice Wednesday, you know, and then he's out on Thursday, it's like, okay, how much do you attribute that to injury as opposed to
we don't
this
need
guy's
you out
proving
there.
Himself right. We don't need to see
you're good to
I'd
go.
Rather I'd rather have you Monday night than, you know, taking a ton of reps on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Like which has been the same case with Taylor Decker.
Yeah.
Who,
no,
it's
that's
like
true.
You get 10 years in the league and you're like, man, like, coach, hey, a little beat up. I know I practiced yesterday, had a good practice, but today might need to shut it down a little bit. And today's injury reports are just – I remember going in and getting a bag of ice and being like, you know, my wrist is a little sore. Like, let me just grab a bag of ice and go in the locker room. And
we
got to put you on injury.
Oh, really?
You know, we got to put you on the, you know, wrist, like, questionable. It's like, nah, I'm not questionable, like, you know. But that's just – I think that's the way that teams try to be very – precautious about some injuries because, you know, unfortunately there are teams that try to hide some stuff and, you know, you don't want that coming up to bite you in the ass at some point. So I would expect if we're sitting here Friday at what almost 4:30, I would expect Mike Evans to play. I'd be shocked if Ibuka plays. I'd be shocked if Godwin plays. But I want to see this defense just get back to their identity and just be gritty and get up in your face and, you know, I'm just going to be all over you. I'm going to make you, you know, I'm going to challenge every throw because last week Patrick Mahomes just had a field day when they were running a lot of those zone coverages.
All right. I do believe we're playing Who Said It Next.
Who is?
Is that right? You sticking around?
Sure.
Oh, what a guy. 97 on the
ticket.
For
you, Jeff?
Oh,
sure.
What a mensch.
I love...
All right, people.
I love talking crap about our coworkers.
I know you do.
I hope at least two of them are you, though.
Joining us on the line, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Ross, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right. It's good to talk to you again. And let's start off with what you saw Sunday night. Were you surprised like we were that it felt like the Lions just never found a rhythm and basically laid an egg on Sunday night? Were you surprised at their performance?
Well, I guess I felt pretty good about them through the first half. I mean, I think, you know, obviously that golf touchdown where they call it a motion penalty or whatever. And I mean, we could have a whole conversation about the dynamics of how the officials decided to make that change. Cause I know Dan Campbell said he was told one thing and obviously Rolstad after the game said something different, but I will say that's a major bummer. If you're the Lions and you come up with a really cool, unique play like that, you got to make sure you cross all the T's, dot all the I's, because you're only going to run that once, and it's got to count. I mean, it's got to be a touchdown if you're going to do something like that. But I thought they were moving the ball in the first half. I just think, you know, I thought their defense might struggle against the Chiefs offensively with the Chiefs the way they're playing right now. And I was a little disappointed that they weren't able to keep the pace in the second half. I think that's probably the thing that surprised me. I thought the Lions offensively would kind of be able to go blow for blow with the Chiefs, and it was almost like tennis, and they in the second half they stopped holding serve.
We talked to Dan yesterday, and he clearly stated an official told him New York buzzed down. The NFL denies it. They stick with the pool reporter. Does the NFL have a credibility issue here?
You know, that is a tough one. That is a very tough one, Jim. I think that there are certain times when the officials gather and they say after further discussion that I think are probably, you know, open to interpretation for people. You know, I'm not in the business of saying that Craig Wohlstadt was lying. I'm also not in the business of saying that Dan Campbell was lying.
Somebody was lying.
You know?
You know?
You know, the only thing the one thing I do think is interesting, there is kind of a middle ground there in terms of the, you know, the replay official that's actually in the stadium. I think people lose sight of that. There's New York. There's the replay officials in the stadium. And there is obviously the officials on the field. Now, you know, if the one official said to Dan Campbell it was New York, maybe he thought it was New York and it wasn't. Maybe he didn't realize that that's not a situation where New York's supposed to get involved. And he said that to Dan and he shouldn't have. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities there. There's a lot of options. And I would say good luck trying to find the right answer. That would be like, you know, the Zapruder film, trying to figure out exactly what really happened or did not happen in that situation.
Ross, those are possibilities. It's also a possibility that New York did weigh in against the rules and the NFL put their finger on the scale. That's also possible.
That is a possibility. And there are certainly, look, there's a lot of people in Detroit that feel that way. And there are certainly people that have felt that that seems like the case in other primetime games or playoff games.
Well, especially when it comes to the Chiefs.
Games. What's that?
Especially when it comes to the Chiefs. It feels like they always get the benefit of the doubt. They get the call from New York. And I don't want to waste our time going back and forth on this because, I mean, obviously we do believe that the NFL has a credibility issue. But let's talk about this matchup this weekend in regards to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Is there a quarterback that's playing at a better level right now than Baker Mayfield?
No, there's not. And I don't know how much you guys have watched him. He's just so entertaining. I mean, he's like definitely top 10, one of my five favorite players to watch. I just love the sport, and I love people that are giving it everything they have, and you can see that. And a lot of times you can't see that from quarterbacks, but Baker, first of all, I said this last week on Sunday on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. I don't know how many of these you guys have seen. He's either the best, worst scrambler or the worst, best scrambler I've ever seen. I mean, at least four times this year, he has been dead to rights. Multiple guys, and he somehow breaks a tackle or squeezes out of there and runs for a big gain. And guys, this is not Lamar Jackson we're talking about. This is not Jaden Daniels. He's not fast. He's not overly athletic. I don't really know how he's doing it, but he somehow does it seemingly every game for a game-changing, game-breaking play.
There's no denying what Tampa's done this year, right? 5-1, 4 fourth quarter comeback, game-winning drives. They're having a great year, and now we get a great matchup Monday night when they face the Lions. We're talking to Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. So tell us how these two teams match up.
Well, it's a crazy interesting matchup, especially when you consider the guys that won't play for both teams. You know, with this Brian Branch suspension, I actually, you know, Branch might be a top 20 favorite player for me. I love the way that guy plays football. He plays for keeps. And was it a smart thing to do that to Juju after the game? Absolutely not. John knows the way I played and like to play. I like that Branch has that chip on his shoulder. I like that he's trying to hit everything that moves. But they're going to really miss him in this game. The flip side is the most impressive thing, Jim, about the Bucs is that they're 5-1 with all the guys they've been missing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have worse for a while. They moved their center to left tackle, and then they moved their left guard to center, put a different guy in at left guard. Their right guard's out for the year. Their right tackle's out. And we don't even know. There's three star receivers, Mike Evans, Emeka Abuka, Chris Godwin. We don't know if any of those guys are playing Monday night. I mean, it's one of the craziest things I've seen, that they're 5-1 with this many injuries. What they're really doing is making it so that every other team in the NFL has no excuse. Like, there's no excuse to say, oh, we're missing this guy, we're missing that guy. The Bucs are missing a lot of guys, and they're still 5-1. It feels like a game where there's going to be a lot of points. It feels like it's going to be a back and forth. Kind of similar to, you know, Sunday night for the Lions against the Chiefs. The Lions have to hold serve. I don't know if they're going to be able to slow down the Bucs. Maybe they can with all these injuries that the Bucs have offensively, but nobody's really been able to. I think it's incumbent on Jared Goff and company to score almost every time they have the ball. It feels like 31-30, you know, 31-27, something like that.
And so, in having said that, the one thing that we know about Tampa is that's the side of the ball where they haven't had a lot of injuries. And they've always been a good defense, but this year it feels like the defense has slipped. Now, you look at the Niners game and you could say, okay, well, that's where they've started to perform. But before that, is there any concern that Baker's having to go through these heroics simply because the defense for Tampa has not performed as expected?
Yes. There's a lot of truth to that. I mean, there's no question, and I'm not exactly sure why that's been the case. You know, for the Bucs, they don't have McCollum, their corner, who they really like, so Vildor's been in there. But I am a little surprised that the Bucs defense hasn't played better. But, you know, they were better against the 49ers, as you referenced. And so sometimes it just takes these teams a little bit of time to settle in a little bit. We'll see if that's the case. Hopefully for the Lions, it's not.
We've been focusing on the matchup in the NFC, right? I mean, the winner of that game could claim, hey, we're the best in the NFC, maybe the NFL. Who's the best team in the AFC?
Well, that's a funny question because, you know, I do my power rankings every Tuesday on the Ross Tucker podcast. I have the Colts as the number one team in the NFL. And I know people say, oh my gosh, come on, Ross. It's six games now, guys. That's 40% of the season. I'm going by what I see this year. They have totally annihilated three teams. Are those teams good? No, but it's not easy to blow teams out in the NFL. Then they found a way to win a couple other games that were close late. Their only loss was at the Rams when A.D. Mitchell did that thing where he dropped the ball at the goal line and it was a touchback. I mean, they could very easily be undefeated. So I'm still saying the Colts, but my Even Money Betting podcast, which is really popular, my co-host, he says it's the Chiefs. He said, I don't care that they're 3-3. He started to see some underlying metrics, yards per play, the way they beat the Lions. He thinks the Chiefs are not only the best team in the AFC, he thinks they're the best team in the NFL now.
All right, they're getting Rice back. I mean, I suppose there's an argument. What was that, John?
Tuck, we only got 30 seconds. So of the teams with four or more wins in the AFC, you got New England, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Denver, and L.A. Which one of those teams is the biggest fraud?
I'll say the Jaguars. I'm not buying the Jaguars yet. I mean, they were winning with all kinds of crazy turnover fortune. I'm not ready to go there with the Jags.
Good answer. Okay. He's Ross Tucker. You can hear more of him. He has that podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Ross, good stuff.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, bud.
Ticket Textures did pick up on the fact that Kendall Vildor is playing for Tampa Bay, and that excites Lions fans tremendously.
See if you can hit his face mask.
God, it's 97-1.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97, won a ticket. Hope everybody's doing well on this Friday. We'll have some picks coming up in about 12, 13 minutes. Scott, when the Lions don't play on Sunday, does it dramatically change your Sunday?
No. I mean, sometimes it does, absolutely. But this Sunday, I don't know if it's going to do it this Sunday.
Nothing particular big going on.
Had I not thrown my back out playing golf last Sunday, I would probably be playing golf on Sunday, assuming the weather's good.
Yeah.
That would have been something would have been under consideration.
Kang, family man, two daughters, Sunday.
Yeah, like, what's wife telling you you got to do?
It's a smart time.
It's a huge difference, man. When the Lions aren't on at one, yeah. That means I'm free. That means I'm available. And then when they're not on at all on Sunday, I'm available all day.
There you go. They're playing on Monday night, and the kid will be there covering it, the Birchie kid. Yes, we are merely Doug and Scott, and this is Will Birchfield. What's up, my man?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. Not much, man. Just got back from practice. Some positive news to report on the injury front. Tyrion Arnold was back out there today, which was a bit of a surprise to see. Just a week after the Lions feared he might have been facing a potentially season-ending injury. Obviously, the follow-up reports were more optimistic, but this would suggest that there's at least a chance he could play on Monday night in the extra day. Probably only increases those odds. So we'll have to see how that plays out, but an encouraging sign for this defense, which obviously needs more bodies and more talented bodies in the secondary. So that was a sight for some sore eyes, and the way he was moving in a cone drill sorry, we got some reporters flowing through here, so I apologize for any background noise.
But, it's quite all right.
Yeah, he was back out there, as was Taylor Decker.
It's Burkett, isn't it? It's Burkett.
It's all Burkett. Yeah, he's making an Burkett. Absolute ruckus as he comes through. The guy can't resist.
Yeah,
he usually comes through with a marching band too. Watch out for that guy. So, I mean, it's exciting with that, but I mean, in all honesty, they have the bye week after this game. Would it behoove the Lions probably just to let him sit for another week and get the rest, or is this game so vitally important you got to have all hands on deck?
It's a good question, and I don't want to speak for their thinking. You know, I obviously think the Bucs are limited themselves with some of their offensive weapons, and maybe that makes the Lions a little bit more comfortable to roll with the guys they have. The bye coming after this would also support the fact that maybe you get him out there and maybe you get Taylor Decker back out there. I will note on Tyrion, he said yesterday in the locker room, just in sort of a casual setting, that he wasn't expecting to play. He felt like the team was going to play it safe. So probably still less likely than more likely that he plays, but we'll see how it shakes out Monday night.
Has there been any discussion about the video that was tweeted out and as part of Turning Point? I know some Lions players have now tweeted about it. They're not happy regarding Brian Branch and Turning Point, like, going at him.
Yeah, no, there hasn't been yet. We haven't been to the locker room today, so certainly we'll ask around when we get in there. Kelvin Shepard was asked about it at his press conference this morning. He hadn't seen it, or at least he said he wasn't aware of it yet. He said he obviously stands behind Brian Branch, and no matter what the NFL might be saying or twisting about him. So, no, I haven't heard a whole lot of reaction in response to that yet. Shep did say, though, that you know, he sat down with Brian Branch this week, and I assure you he wasn't the only one to do that. But he said, first of all, like, he's missing him. You know, Branch isn't allowed in the building this week. He isn't allowed on the sidelines on Monday, so they won't see him again until next Tuesday. But before he was sort of shunned from the building, Shep had a chance to sit down with him, and he told him that at one point, you know, he kind of played the same way and towed the same line that Branch does as a highly emotional player that plays with an edge. And Shep told him, just understand, you have 60 minutes over the course of a game to, quote, do whatever you want to do to another man, and then kind of leave it right there. And he made the point that, you know, off the field, Branch is one of the most soft-spoken, politeful, respectful young men you'll ever meet, but emphasize to him, those 30 seconds in the national spotlight can entirely shape and change the way people perceive you, people view you. So just be mindful of that and remember how badly we need you on the field. I don't want to speak for Branch here, but part of me believes that he waited until after the game to take his well-deserved shot at Juju as a way to avoid costing his team 15 yards in the middle of action, and in the process cost his team himself for the ensuing game.
Yeah, one of the other visuals from that game that is hard to shake is that Kirby Joseph left the game and limping all over the place on the sideline, stays out for a while, but then comes back in like nothing ever happened. What's his status? How has he looked at practice?
Yeah, dude, I think they shot his knee with Red Bull inside that medical tent and then sent him back out there because he limped off the field, I agree.
Gives you
like
wings.
We weren't going to see him again that night. And then he comes out of that tent 10 minutes later and lays an absolute lick on Isaiah Pacheco, like came 15 yards charging up field just to lay the lumber on him. So he was not at practice today. And again, the game is Monday, so there's still a chance that he could practice tomorrow and get himself ready to go for Monday night. But that's a hard one to read. If you're asking me, I think it does behoove them in this case to give him the 2 weeks of rest and then get him right for the back half of the season. Again, I think it matters that the Bucs are entering this game without Godwin, without Ibuka, who was looking like a rising superstar, even without Bucky Irving. And if they can just keep a lid on Mike Evans, you feel like the secondary should be okay, even if it's missing its two star safeties.
Okay, you know, they don't lose two games in a row under Dan Campbell. They've seen
not
it,
allowed
but, no. Yeah. Well, I was about to ask you,
it's
do
been
you get
a minute.
It after a loss, is the building different? Like, is there a secret to the sauce? Do you sense anything from them after a loss?
No, I think that's part of why they haven't lost two games in a row in almost 3 years, because after a win or a loss, it's just back to work here and it's back to striving for their standards, which are incredibly high. And certainly they want to get rid of the taste they had in their mouth last week. And I think they're looking forward to this stretch of games that includes not just Tampa, but on the other side of the bye, Minnesota and then Philly and Washington, knowing that they'll be tested pretty stiffly here over the next month. But no, this team is always highly motivated to play. And, you know, you look at the game last week, you know, really just a couple plays that were entirely uncharacteristic of this team that swung that game in the Chiefs' favor with some help from you-know-who. So, you know, I don't think they feel like they played terribly last week, and they're ready to fix it on Monday night, and they're always ready to go.
So I wonder as a team as a whole, is there a different look to them in practice this week? Is it a more focused look from them? I can't imagine that losing does not sit well with them. So is this like a raring to get back on the field and prove everything wrong?
Yeah, you know, I think they feel some of that. I think they're raring to go. I think of one player in particular, and David Montgomery, who obviously only had 4 carries last week, which was the low of his time with the Lions, and no carries in the second half, just 2 second half touches. I can promise you that he is raring to go for Monday night. And, you know, it felt like at this time last week, all of the angst around the lack of touches for a certain player in the offense centered around J-Mo. And then, you know, he lines up Sunday night, catches six passes for 66 yards and a touchdown. And a week later, we seem to be fixating on Demo. And it would not shock me to see the Lions make a concerted effort to get David involved and keep him involved over the course of the game, no matter how the game script goes. You know, one interesting note on Demo is he has faced, I believe the last I looked, the third highest rate in the NFL this year of eight-man boxes. So when he's on the field, defenses are really committing to stopping the run. And maybe that has dissuaded the Lions a little bit from handing him the ball, but this is a guy that needs more touches than six over the course of a night and needs more than two certainly in the second half. So in a game that feels like it could be decided in the mud between two physical defenses, this might be a Demo kind of night.
All right. When can we see you next on television?
You'll see me on Sunday morning for our usual Lions game day live slot. And then you'll see me possibly Sunday night. I should probably go consult the schedule. but you'll see me on there whenever you feel like it. Quick note for you guys entering this game. The matchup to me to watch here is how Graham Glasgow holds up against Vita Vea, who's obviously just like one of those rare defensive linemen that can wreck a game from the inside out, from like the dirtiest, muckiest parts of the defensive line. And it cracked me up yesterday when I was talking with Graham about Nada. He was like, the thing that stands out about him is that because he's short, he has good pad level and built-in leverage. And I went to look at how short Vita Vea is. He's 6'4". It gives you a sense of the scale for humans in the NFL, especially up front. And when I asked Graham if he's consulted Frank Ragnow for any advice on that matchup, because Frank had faced him so frequently the past couple of years, Graham said, nah, he's probably in like Canada fishing or something. So it sounds like Frank is living his best life. But the matchup to watch Monday night, offense, defense, to me is Glasgow versus Vita Vea.
Birch Kid, always good to hear from you, but thank you.
You got it, guys. Talk soon.
From the Allen Park headquarters of the Detroit Lions, our reporter, the intrepid Will Birchfield. Let's pick some games.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.